Good morning. Good morning. Good morning. Good. What, first one of the year.
Just that. So this time last week was New Year's Day. Wow. Wow.
Seems like a long time ago, doesn't it?
Heavy week, man. Heavy week of work.
A long time ago. All right, let me get myself sorted.
Have you set any New Year's resolutions?
Not resolutions, no.
No.
Not goals for this year.
Okay.
Yeah.
Is there any worth sharing?
We did in the last episode, didn't we?
No, like personal goals, not business goals. Boring.
Yeah, travel more.
Oh, did you? What did I say?
Obviously wasn't listening.
Wow. I don't know what it was.
I've got them written down there.
Never. Yeah,
He's
I've done mine.
a damn planner next to it ever.
I've done mine. But what I've done this year is try to just focus on two or three things instead of like my usual is seven. Do you get me? There'll be things that creep into another year and stuff like that. Yeah, so like one big hairy ass goals, the goal, and then just the normal like week to week kind of training based goals and stuff like that. Yeah, but mine, because mine are similar to last year a little bit, so they're not massively like inspiring and motivating. It's just fucking carry on grinding on that shit that I wanted to do last year. So yeah, I think I'm gonna go back over mine the next week or so. Just to see if there's anything else that I can dig into. Yeah, but I reckon Layson's inspired me to get back into MMA this year. I need some competitive element in my life to stop me from fucking getting angry too quick.
Yeah, I've booked in. What I've booked in so far, got a competition at the end of January, got like a weekend one in June. Trying to book a Hyrox. And what's Ollie's one called?
Affects.
Yeah. Want to book one of them.
It'll suit you that because it's quite a bit of ollie lifting, isn't there? Well, there's an ollie lifting cycle in there.
Yeah. So I want to do a competition minimum every 3 months. Yeah.
You've got a good environment there to push you into in terms of a competitive environment for fitness, haven't you? If you're going to the CrossFit gym. Whereas obviously I train in my home gym on my Todd, do you know what I mean? It's easy to get in and out of things sometimes, isn't it? To not obviously I there'll be days where I tick a box, do you know what I mean? But there'll be days where I fucking get stuck in. But it's not the same ever as being in an environment where there's other people around you, is there?
No, not at all, mate.
That's what I lack, but it's the only thing that I can really fit into my day, do you know what I mean? With first thing in the morning and then the kids taking over in that period of time at night. But it would be nice to push a fitness competition or two, but I'm going to start doing 8 o'clock MMA classes at night.
Let's do what's it called? I can never pronounce the damn thing. Ollie's do
Affects.
that.
Okay.
Let's do it.
Let's have a look at some dates and stuff.
Okay. And I'm coaching again.
I've seen that actually come through in my schedule, coaching in the gym that you're in.
Yeah.
What, how many sessions? Because that's about 3 hours, isn't it?
Yeah. Doing Tuesday night.
What, two sessions?
Three sessions.
That's cool.
Yeah,
Do
start.
you get to program that, or have you got to go off their programming?
It's they get programming for this, so they program for the gym. So it's two CrossFit sessions and one like FBB session.
Okay.
So yeah, I'm looking forward to it.
That's good. That's good. That's good. Right, should we get stuck in? Because people actually come here to maybe listen to some questions that they've either asked or that are relevant to listen to. Who's asking the first one?
You're going top down.
Oh, I'm not on the Excel sheet. I'm on the job form.
No.
Say again.
No, I am on the job form.
So no, I'm going to start at the first one asked. Whoever did the check-in first. So, what questions would you ask yourself to determine whether you've done enough to help a client who leaves without achieving the results they came to you for?
Oh,
It's a fucking meaty one to get stuck into, isn't it?
yeah. I would first start of where they started with you. So, how did they come into the business? That's the first thing. Were they cold? Were they warm? How did you onboard them? Like, I would look back on their goals, their challenges, their barriers. I would look back on and ask myself the question about, was I client-centered in the approach of setting them up? And so how I determine that is, did I find myself dictating the process, or did I really understand what was important to them, what the challenges they were facing? And in the first kind of 4 weeks, was that a constant amendment of how of those methods to really embed something that worked for them? That is the first place I would start. I think the other questions I would ask is, when it comes to like adherence and the coaching points, from sessions to check-ins to reviews to that side of things. Again, did I find myself telling more? Did I find myself chasing more? Did I find the communication flow quite not easily to begin with, but did I find that I got to a point where that was flowing quite easily between us? So the relationship. So it would be a lot around relationship. It'd be a lot around communication. Those are the types of questions I would ask. Not, can I add more in? Can I do more? Because we can always do more, but it's more about, for me, the success of those things. Because if communication doesn't flow, you can do as many things as you, and throw as many things as you want at them, but it's not going to tend to help. Those are the questions I would start with.
A lot of questions there.
Yes, it is, Anthony. Well, it's a complex question, so I gave, I think, a structured answer to it. What would you add in, Anthony?
The thing that you need to highlight is that what was success for them? What would be the key milestones and the key metrics and the key things that they seen as success? And did you have clarity on them from day one? And then I would work off personally, I would work off them and go, right, the way they viewed success was scale weight, was, I don't know, performance-based goals of X, Y, Z, behavior-based goals, habits, right? Pull all of them apart. Actually, they only achieved, they're the KPIs and the markers that we agreed on would be successful. They only achieved two out of, I don't know, seven. Then I would reverse engineer from the other five and go, right, well, what could I have done that would have aided and helped and supported them to achieve them other five? I think personally, and I think if anyone's listening to this and going, oh, how can I avoid this then moving forward? I think that's what I've just gone through is a big part of helping you have clarity that and reassurance that you are doing enough. There's so many of you that will probably listen to this that constantly question, are you doing enough for clients? And you'll have that feeling if you've not become clear on what success is on their terms and what are the key markers, the KPIs and kind of milestones and metrics of that success. The clearer you can have of that, of them three, four, five, six things that they would love to do, whether it's habitual, behavioral, metric-based, performance-based, whatever it is, they need to be clear because then all of the plan needs to work towards them four, five, six markers. And then it makes it easier that if you get to a certain set point and they're not achieving them results, it makes it a little bit easier to reverse engineer and unpack what could be going wrong and adapt the plan and program a little bit better, quicker, and more efficiently instead of them potentially leaving without results. So that's all I would add. Have you got any questions off the back of what I've just said there, Nicholas?
No, I have not. Next question is, suggestions when you are planning content ahead of time. I've been using check-ins and reviews, consults, consult notes, etc., but find it hard trying to plan ahead. I know it's a skill at the end of the day, but what would you suggest for making the planning process easier?
Okay. I think it is difficult for some people. It depends completely on your personality and attention span and all of that type of stuff. It can be difficult, this. And I want to give an answer that's not a wanky answer that goes, you should just do this, this, and this, and split the rest of your week up and all that type of stuff, because I mean, you've heard it all from us before. I think what might help is you're going to the right, first of all, you are going to the right places to get your content ideas. A bit like actually I've just said about the results and stuff. What I would say is that what would help you is probably having your aim, whatever your marketing aim is. So if my aim for my marketing is to get leads on a lead magnet for a program that I'm doing or a challenge that I'm doing, and also my aim is to grow my sales by two or three people, now I know what my everything's leading towards this, these two aims, right? So if I know everything's leading towards them two aims, it then becomes a little bit easier to structure your content, because your content has to then probably 50, 60% of the time has to have something to do with them aims and lead towards them. So then in terms of structure, it makes it a little bit easier. So you're not sat there thinking, right, well, what should I do? How should I do it? And all of that. And then it basically comes down to you making it a little bit easier by probably looking at certain pillars that do well for you in your business. So the person pillar does well for most people, where you're showing a bit of yourself. The pain point pillar does. The service pillar does, if it's behind the scenes or social proof. Barriers and objections, they go well. So the way you structure your content then becomes a little bit easier. So then it becomes, so say for argument's sake, you're trying to plan 2 weeks worth of content, then what you're doing is pulling out certain things. Well, the person one's quite easy because that could be about you and your story, your background, how you're getting on. Then you're starting to wedge in some of the stuff that you've seen from check-ins, reviews, and consults into the other pillars that we've just talked about. So that process makes it a little bit easier to start to plan forward, instead of having, which I think is the biggest problem that most people have with this, is this paradox of choice. Because then, because you've got that choice, it slows your decision making down, because there's so much choice within your content. But you've narrowed it down with your aims in regards to the lead magnet and the call to actions. You've now narrowed it down into the clusters of what you're going to do. And that really helps you, in my opinion. It really helps you. So you're not just sat there struggling with, oh, what ideas have I got for the next 2 weeks? So I would advise that, definitely, because it will minimize the level of choice that you have. And then my last point, I said I wasn't going to make this, but I think it'd help, is I'd split it up across your days. So I'd have an hour or two for getting your content and sourcing it, which is from your check-ins, reviews, and consults. I'd have an hour or two within your week for creating the content. And then I'd have a few hours a week for delivering the content, whether that's creating it in terms of designing it, in that, whether that be the video, the captions, whether that be the work you do on Canva. And I would split it up and I'd have it across a process in your week that probably takes up about 6 to 8 hours, but you know you're covering all bases and you're not trying to do it all at once. I think that really helps too. Anything you'd add?
No.
How do I get over the feeling that I'm not doing enough? I wrote a post about this actually tomorrow, Wednesday.
How do I get a feeling that I'm not doing enough? I think if you're really feeling like that, I think a bit of a stock on, first of all, what's the goal, long term and short term. Based on that goal, what are the fundamental blocks of work that you need to be doing? I think the third thing off the back of that Do you know where to get started with those things? And are you following through on the things that you're planning out and doing? So it stems from like what you want. It stems from the goals of the business, personal goals. It stems from recognizing once you know what you need to be doing and focusing on, are you following through on those things, that accountability? And I think if you are, this is the way I'd kind of maybe think about it as well. Are you doing the tasks to tick the task off? Are you doing the tasks to have impact and have it meaningful impact on those? Because it's quite easy to get into a process of, you know, obviously task sheet, task lists and to-do lists and all that is really important, but
Oh, I was laughing at halfway through then. That was a mouthful. And normally you would have fucked that up. Are you doing a task to tick the task off? That's a fucking mouthful, that.
how I said.
Yeah, normally you'd fuck that clean up, but you did well there. Well done.
There
Doing the task to tick the task off. It's like a little fucking rap, that, isn't it, son?
you go. It is, yeah.
Go on. Well done.
I fucking lost
You
me.
forgot what you was going to say now, yeah.
Bollocks. That was a punchline as well.
Was it? Sorry.
Yeah, I think that's how I'd probably measure it and manage it a little bit. And I think if you've got a nagging feeling where you could be, so as it, let's take social media and marketing as an example, right? It's the biggest thing that majority coaches struggle with. If you've, as an example, if you're a gym floor PT, let's use another example, a gym floor PT, and you booked in an hour to do lead generation on a gym floor, and you've gone out there and you've spoken to one or two people, and you've got a feeling you can do more, you can do more. If you're an online PT and you're posting two or three times a week, and you're sitting there thinking, oh, I could probably do more than that, yeah, you probably can, because that's your main source of leads and business and to generate business. So from an example of that, that's how I'd measure and manage it. But then there's big caveats to that, isn't there? Like, do you know where to get started? Do you know how to do those things? So yeah, start with a goal, look at the blocks of work. Are they booked in? Are you really feeling fulfilled on what you're doing based on the tasks you need to do? And the last one is, are you doing things just to tick it off your list? Fucking hell. Anything you
Next. Don't want to. I don't want to. Even if I did, I don't want
have? When looking to dial in your target market avatar, is it normal to have outliers in the service that don't fit the description?
to. Yeah, absolutely. It's completely normal. Like, we go through a period of time, and I know this person owns a gym, but I think any PT or any coach or any gym owner can probably resonate. You'll go through a period of time where you put stuff out and different people will gravitate towards you at different times and stages of their lives, and that they might not fit the demographic that you eventually go out to market to in the future, but it's okay. It's all part of the process. So, really short answer on this one. Yeah, it's completely normal. But I would just try and remove them from your thinking of how and who you're going to market to moving forward if they don't fit. And then base, in this case, it's a gym, a little bit different than a coaching business. You will probably have maybe three, four different segments of demographics. So it's much harder than running an individual coaching business. But you'll mainly have different segments of demographic, but you probably they all link in some way. So it's slightly different to a coaching business. But yeah, short answer is it's absolutely normal. Anything you'd add?
Nope.
How do I ramp up my marketing without being spammy?
engagement from the audience, I would say, and conversations from the audience. So if you're using, as an example, let's take this person because we know this person's online. Let's take, for example, when you are using posts or reels, yes, do calls to action on them. But where, in my opinion, the where you do the most of your selling or should be doing most of your selling or aim to do most of your selling is through stories, DMs, and emails. Why? Because your more engaged audience are going to be there. They're going to have opted into your email list or your lead magnet or your pre-registration form. They are watching your stories. They are engaging with your polls, your question boxes, your lives, your stickers, etc., and then generating conversations off the back of that. So how do you feel? Not spammy is creating engagement with your audience and having conversations, because ultimately your conversations, not every single conversation, but there should be conversations around there in regards to what are they struggling with, what are their goals, what are they focusing on, where do they want to go, how can you help them, and then ultimately then positioning the service that you want, that you're selling, goes in there. So it doesn't feel shouldn't feel spammy because it's based off someone prompting or asking for help, and you finding out that information. So yeah, there's my answer to that question. Anything you would add, Anthony?
Somewhere.
Also word. Just look at you.
It's probably a good thing that if you are feeling spammy, that it's probably a good thing. I don't know if you said that, but I'm already one live into the ear and stopping listening to your responses. Yeah, but on it genuinely, normally, it's a good sign that you feel spammy, because you look at the amount of people that don't see your content, or the amount of people that need reminding that you have a service to buy and not just someone who's posting all of the time with value and education and all of that. Is like, I know feeling spammy or salesy or a pest isn't very appealing and not why a lot of people got into the industry. But one thing I've learned over the years is that people need to be reminded consistently that you have a service to buy and that they need it. And the only way that they're going to be reminded is if you continuously ask for the business. And by listen, by there is no evidence or anything like this about this, but I would say as much as two, three, four times per week of you asking for the business on social media, as much as you can. And I know I might not align with some people, but fact is, people need reminding.
Isn't there? There's a difference. There's a big difference between being pushy and salesy without any context or groundwork or compounding awareness or marketing before that. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
But I
Yeah,
would.
absolutely.
Huh?
I agree.
Because if you. I always think that when you're asking for the business or going, here's this service, sign up by this date or whatever, I think the sign that you should have is that you should have someone in mind that you've had a conversation with via that channel. So you're always speaking to that person. And that to me says you've done that groundwork to warrant saying, hey, this is how you work with me. Do you know what I
Agree.
mean? You know what I
Yeah,
mean?
there's another question just come in. Have you seen it?
No, where?
Is it my question or yours?
I don't know.
Think it's mine, so you need to ask it.
How can I get better at preempting, anticipating red flags in my clients when they might become disengaged? I try to have regular touch points by reaching out to disengage clients with a text, but sometimes it doesn't help much. If they've not been using their monthly review, should I use one of the sessions as a monthly review to make sure the chat gets had?
Okay, so I'm going to break this down into two or three little responses. So, how can I get better at preempting and anticipating red flags in my clients when they might become disengaged? I think the first one is, it's not always as simple as this, but making sure that you know the client well enough as you take them on for them to open up on what they perceive to be the red flags themselves. I'd be really honest and ask honest questions like, what red flags or what barriers and challenges could come up? What's happened in the past? And make a list of them. And then with the clients collaboratively come up with a plan of if they happen. So you're clear. Now I'm completely aware that some clients won't know because they've never been through that process before. But this is where personally, this is where the level of value that you place on the monthly review at the start is so important. So important. And that's not, I've got this monthly review and it helps people stay on track and all of that. It's aligning some of the things that you've asked them, right? And they've brought up as problems and as barriers and as concerns and as complications and as challenges. It's aligning some of them things to the benefits of the session with you. Remove review from it for a second. Just this session is set up to help them create awareness of them problems if they occur in the future, right? So what you'll find is if you explore them well enough at point of sale and through the consultation and onboarding phase, and they've said these are the three or four things that might be the challenges, the problems and things that might come up, and then you've agreed some form of measurement of that of going, right, well, we've got this weekly check-in that's going to help you be aware of it, and we've also got the monthly review. You might call it something different. The purpose of that is to manage them four things, right? So it's no longer they're doing a check-in for you or a monthly review for you. It's they've got these three or four complications, challenges, and barriers that could crop up. And the process to manage them is weekly and monthly. So they see that the discrepancies or problems that they have is being managed and supported via them methods and tools. So then that helps a client increase the value on the check-in and review because it's been built with them four things in mind for argument's sake. So that really helps, A, highlight the red flags, B, put a tool in place to manage them, and C, help with adherence of them things massively because it's then on their terms and not yours. It's then a process that's been built for them and not you. So I just highlight that that's something that you have to do. So that's at the beginning. When you've now, second part of the question, I try to have regular touch points by reaching out to disengage clients with text, but sometimes it doesn't help. If they've not been using their monthly reviews, should I use one of their sessions? Personally, I would ask them. I wouldn't just use one of their sessions because that might piss them off. Because if they, in their mind, are buying a service that includes personal training sessions with you, they're coming for one of them sessions. What you need to do as the coach is highlight the discrepancy, right? So, say, for example, they're disengaged. I dig into that. What are they disengaged with? Are they disengaged with a process? Are they disengaged with the program? Like, what are they disengaged with? So, I would highlight that discrepancy. I would bring that up. I would be like, okay, how do you feel like if we're talking in the session, how do you feel like that's going? What improvements do you feel like you could make? Okay, you've highlighted them things. I agree, but how can we best, or although how can we best manage them things? So when you're having that chat in the session, you're then leading them to potentially then into a bit of a goal setting based scenario chat where probably you would take them back into that chat that I said at the start, like it's a reconsult, like you're restarting and resetting. And that therefore should help moving forward. But yeah, that would be my response. Anything you would add to that, Nicholas?
No, Anthony.
Fucking class that response, wasn't it? Even if I do say myself. Do you know what I mean? Smoke up my ass.
Not to tell you.
Get blowing my own trumpet. Decent that.
Not tell you.
If we were that good, we'd clip this part, put it on a pod, put it on a fucking Instagram thing and all of that, but we don't. Do you know what I mean? We can't even do it. You turn up looking like a sheep, and the only editing we do is you put fucking cow noises into, and I respond.
You know what? That's going to make a comeback this year.
No.
Oh yeah.
No.
Maybe a maybe a sheep because of this. Maybe a
Yeah.
sheep.
Yeah. Good job.
There's the intro.
Any final thoughts?
No. What episode is this? 190. I want to say 196, 197.
Did you watch the darts whilst you were off at Christmas?
No, everyone's fucking going on about darts. It's boring going to watch ever.
Listen, I get that. And the fact that people call it a sport really makes me laugh. So I get that. What it did get a grip of me, that kid who's fucking 16, who must have gone through puberty at nine, something. Eh?
That's 65. Fucking 16. That's bollocks.
When you said 190, whatever you said, then it just reminded me of the darts. But yeah, it kind of got a grip of me in that quarter and semi and final. And now I'll be done.
It is, apparently, but
now what I'm doing is I nearly went and got Layson went into my dad's pub and started throwing darts at that. But I'm like, oh, this is going to end up with a new sport for him now at home. Bang, bang. But he's forgot about it. Now what I'm doing is just throwing tea bags in a cup at home. Like I'm trying to get him in. That's how he's inspired me. On that note, people, are we doing a live Q&A on thing, you know?
On where?
On Instagram. Not a live Q&A, a session. A session, a live session. Are we going to start it Friday? For those who are listening, whilst Nick is going through one of his prolonged silences, we're doing a live session on Instagram on a Monday and a Friday every week, but we only actually agreed that this morning. So, Nick, are we doing it now or are we doing it starting Friday?
You're head of social media.
All right. We'll start it Friday. Speak to you all soon. Bye-bye.